Shkoyach to Sheldon for suggesting the idea. It's obviously a big void without Rav Weinberger here, and certainly the Friday morning. So he encouraged me to give something, maybe his Miro Shabbos. So he started off by saying that every idea, if you accept every idea, of every 50 ideas that are suggested to a business, they accept one of them. If a business accepts every single idea, they go bankrupt. So he wasn't really sure if I should accept such a project. But since I have a sefer, Zemir Shabbos from the Masifta, which I have never used before, and I always wanted to, this gave me a good excuse to be forced to learn it together with you. So I figured it's a great opportunity. And the idea was to first do Hakdama, maybe this week and next week, about Zemir Shabbos in general, and then start going through the various Zemiros and go through who the author was, about him, the history, understanding the words being used, and hopefully get to some nigunim and tunes that we don't know. Some of these tunes we know, some tunes we don't know. So I think Sheldon might work on, as we get to each, he's going to work on finding the niggun to sing, record them. Maybe we'll bring in some singers. Maybe Yehuda Green would have been a good opportunity to have him come ready this morning to sing a couple of nigunim for us.
So early.
Early? Okay, for singing or for Yehuda Green?
No response.
Fine. So let's first learn through together this Hakdama. There are two. Every sefer has like five hakdamas. So this is the first of the five hakdamas in the Masifta. And the beginning, if you look at the first page, the brackets, the background is there was this big chasna, this big wedding that took place where the Oiv Yisrael, the Apter Rav, got married. It was referred to, and I apologize for not pronouncing the name of the city correct. It's a city in Ukraine. It was called the Chasna Gedola Bostila. Sounds right. Ostila, right? I got it? Okay. So there's this big wedding that took place, and the Apter Rav was getting married, and many Hasidim came, and the Apter Rav gave the following drasha, the following idea he had given over at this chasna, his wedding, about the nature of Zemir Shabbos. So if you begin from where the brackets are, Pasuch Harav Mapt Me'Apter V'Amar, the Apter Rav said, what?
When he knows how old he was?
At the time, I'm not sure how old. I'm sure it's known, but I don't know.
Not like he was like 12.
I don't know how old. B'matbeya she'tivu chachamim b'nusach ha'tfila, the text that was used, chachamim created in the tefila, shel yom Shabbos, that we say anu omrim. Zeh shir Shabbos, shevach rather, shel yom ha'shvi. This is the praise of yom ha'shvi. Shebo shavas kel milachto, mikol milachto, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from all the work. V'yom ha'shvi, the seventh day itself, Shabbos, mishabach v'omer, began to praise and said, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. This is the Mizmor. This is the special song of Shabbos. Tov Lahodos LaHashem is good to give thanks to Hashem. And Lafikach, therefore, Yifaru Yivaruchu Lekel Kol Yitzurav. Therefore, Kol Yitzurav, all creatures, all beings on this world, should give thanks and praise and bracha to Hashem. Shevach Yikar Ugdula, praise and the that which is precious, and Gdula, that which is great, V'chavod, and honor. Yitnu, they should all give Lekel Melech Yotzer Kol. And they should give thanks and acknowledgement to Kaddish Baruch Hu, to the King, to the Creator of the universe. So this is a Nusach of Tefillah. And the Apter Rav wants to understand, it's a very strange thing. Whenever the word Lefikach is used, Lefikach is trying to explain the reason. So what the statement here says is, since Yom HaShvi, since Shabbos, began to sing the praise of Hashem, so therefore we started to sing. Why did it have to come to only once Shabbos gave the proper praise did we have to respond to that? Why couldn't we start singing on our own? So if you look, he formulates the question. V'lashon chachamim marpei tzarech tamun. We know the chachamim certainly in tefillah always requires explanation. We have to understand the depths of the word. It's not just a pashup shot. There's meaning, there's depth to the words of nusach tefillah. Ein lecha lefikach she'enu ba k'nesinas tam. The word lefikach always comes to explain, to give a reason. So ma hu kan, what's the word lefichach doing here? Shamru, it says in the Nusach HaTfila, ki mipnei shezeh shir shevach sheyom ha'shvi, since this Nusach is a song that the seventh day that Shabbos started to praise and sing, v'yom ha'shvi mishabach v'omer, and the seventh day, if you will, started to sing, v'omer lefichach, so then it says, therefore, yifaru v'yivarchu, everyone else started to give a bracha and tefillah. What are the psukim? What are they connected, these words to each other? Kimachma zehu shibola zeh, because Shabbos began to sing, we started to sing. Now, it's an interesting thing that Shabbos is singing. We have a few places in Chazal that Shabbos is a person, it's a being. There's a famous one that the Gemara tells us when it comes to Panim Chadashos, so when it comes to Sheva Brachos, you need to have a new face that hadn't been there at the wedding to give a new bracha. So what about Shabbos? Why is there no Panim Chadashos on Shabbos? Because Shabbos itself serves as the Panim Chadashos. Shabbos itself is some level of a being. And there is an interesting Gemara in Brachos that has a Habamina, I think. This is what the Gemara says, that on Shabbos you can have nine people, and Shabbos could be the tenth person. Now the Gemara rejects it, but that's at least a fleeting thought of the Gemara. So Shabbos is some element of this being, and it's able to sing. So the question becomes, so Shabbos sings, so now that allows us, lefikach, therefore we're allowed to sing now. What's the relevance of Shabbos singing to our singing? So this is the idea, says the Apta Rav. Perish Rav HaKadosh me'apta, v'gil mikvishona shel olam, he revealed to us an amazing secret. Mitad atzmo yesh l'tmoa, from itself there is a great wonderment, keitzad yitachin, how does it make sense? Sheyei koach v'oz l'shum bria, how is any creature in this world, the yatsir, one who's been created, nivra shebolam, how could anyone in this world, lahariv b'nafsha, litein shevach v'hoda l'shem yisbarach, who are we? What would give us any allowance, permission, license to thank Hashem, to praise Hashem? Who are you to sing to Hashem? We're nothing. We're nobodies. So what gives us that license to do so? V'chi mahem, who are they? Who are we? U'machayim, what are our lives worth? Lamod b'fnei melech malchei amlochim l'shabcho, to stand in front of Hashem, the King of all kings, and to praise Him, to sing to Him? Now we have to understand singing is an extremely powerful thing. Now this question is asked also by tefillah. When it comes to davening Shemoneh Esrei, there was once a Gemara has a story that an individual started to say Akel, Agadol, Hagibor, Vanora, and started going on and on and on and on. And then I forget which Rav was there. He says, "Are you done? Is that all you have to say about Hashem?" Of course, it's infinite. There's nothing. You can't stop once you start praising Hashem. So the only reason why we could say Akel, Agadol, Hagibor, Vanora and stop is because the pasuk says so. Had the pasuk not limited it, we would not be able to engage in such a practice of praising Hashem. So the same question here. Yeah.
So the question isn't, if I understand, the question really isn't why, how do we come to allow ourselves to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The only reason why you have that inert need to give Shabbat Behodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, problem is we don't know how to do it.
It's probably both. Probably we don't know how, and we're also not worthy of doing so.
How could you not be worthy? You were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, correct? So you feel just like somebody who does something good for you. Let's say even though they're not the one who actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one you really need to give the thanks to, but you're always, you know, the mailman brings you, you know, $1 million check. You run after him and say thank you, but you had nothing to do with it. You know, you have that inert need to give Shabbat Chodah to. You feel that somebody did something to you, but
I agree.
If you want to say to us, if the idea, I thought he was going to say, we don't know. It's nice that you want to do it, but if you don't know how to do it properly, then what you could be doing is the opposite of what you want to do. So, for instance, the example I always give to my kids when it comes to something like this is, you know, if you want to say thank you to somebody, you bring them breakfast in bed or something like that. So you bring the melech, you know, your favorite breakfast, and the melech gets angry at you and says, I'm going to kill you. And he says, why are you going to kill me? I was doing something nice for you. And he said, because, I don't know, the pancakes or the eggs, whatever, I'm allergic to it. If I would have eaten it, I would have died. Meaning, if you would have known what it is, and your answer is going to be, well, I didn't know that. That's right, you didn't know
right,
that.
Okay, so again, there's a balance between knowing how and whether you're worthy. So I'll give another example why you might not be worthy of it. We saw recently that the three UCLA players were taken custody. They were stealing in China. Everyone heard this would happen, right? They were shoplifting in China. And President Trump happened to be there to their luck and was able to speak to the President of China, can't pronounce his name, and Xi, that's what he said, Xi. So he asked President Xi and he released them. So then we became a whole thing on Twitter. They didn't say thank you to the President Trump. Now, how do you get in touch with President Trump to say thank you? Obviously, you can't get him on the line. So you send a tweet out and he'll hopefully get it among the millions of tweets that are being sent out. So I think the idea is that not everyone's worthy to speak to the president on the phone, even though they did a nice thing for him, and we're not worthy to engage in the practice of singing to Hashem. Because we have to understand singing is an extremely powerful chachma. There's a Talmud of the Gra wrote the Sefer Pas Shulchan. And the Hechdama, he described the greatness of the Gra. And the Gra was learned in all sorts of chachmas throughout the world. Certainly Torah and even the secular world. And he writes there that there were two sciences that the Gra was not engaged in. He did not learn medicine, because his father, the Gra's father, gave him a tzava, you cannot learn medicine, because if you learn medicine, you're going to be the best doctor in the world, and you'll never have time to learn. So he didn't learn the chachma of refuah. Number two is he didn't learn, I think it's called botany, right? He didn't learn botany, he didn't learn how vegetables and fruits and stuff grow, because he was an istanist, he was very, he was a yeki, let's say. He didn't like to get his hands dirty, so he didn't get involved in how things grow. But in that Hagdama, he writes, the Gra said, you like to get dirty even though you're a yeki. So the Gra said that the greatest chachma of all is the chachma of music, singing. That's the most powerful one. So we don't know how to, and we also, to enter into such a world of singing to Hashem is a dangerous thing. So we're just sitting back and not wanting to praise or sing to Hashem at all. So says the Apter Rav. That must be Rav Weinberger call. Okay, sorry. There's a number from Israel. Who else would call me from Israel? Okay, so, what?
Dial in.
Okay, so, where were we? So the Apter Rav says as follows. If we read the underlines where we are right now, Mipnei sheyom ha-shvi hu Shabbos kodesh atzmo, mishabeach v'omer divrei shavach hu mizmor shir la-kodesh baruch. Because Shabbos itself started to give that song and started to sing to Hashem, Lefikach, it opened up the floodgates, allowing all of us, Gam Kol Yitzurov Yecholim Lefayer Levarech Elav Yisparach. Once the Shabbos made that first opening, that first chance to sing, singing about the greatness of Shabbos, so then it gave a license to everybody else. Had Shabbos not engaged in singing to Shabbos or about Shabbos, we would not be able to touch this thing. It's because Shabbos really opened the floodgates.
And that's not just for Shabbos, that's for the whole week.
Well, right, in general, right, there is a big Indian of singing, but there's a special Indian when it comes to singing on Shabbos. So our focus is on Shabbos right now, and we're going to see some sources that there's a source that they would not say Kedusha. The Gaonim wouldn't say Kedusha during the week. They'd only say Kedusha on Shabbos. But it's a good point. In general, there's a power of song, but our focus is on the song about Shabbos.
Maybe that's why the Shir is always relative to Shabbos.
It could be. But there is also an Indian in general. We always want to count days and months to Shabbos.
That we know.
That's a different Indian.
New idea,
but yeah, I think you're right. I think it's a very nice idea that even the song, Mizmor Shir, Liyom HaShabbos, and all the Shir we say, Shir Yom HaShishi, it's a very nice idea. Okay. So then, explains further here, V'herich od bedrusha amok, there's a greater discussion, Asher liyamim nidfas, recently it had been published, b'sifro hakadosh Ov Yisrael. The Ov Yisrael himself, in one of his svarim, they have the drush l'shabbos kodesh. He explains further this idea of singing on Shabbos. Ki l'maisa, ein kol mitzvah ba'olam shenase tikun ba'olam ase elyon. There is no mitzvah in this world. Every mitzvah we know fixes something up in the world above. In the elyonim, things are changing. Nefesh HaChaim talks about, you know, when you put tefillin on, something amazing happens in the world above. When you put tzitzis on, when you shake lulav, when you are mafresh challah, whatever you're doing a mitzvah down here, you're making tremendous waves up in Shemaim. So there is no mitzvah in this world that doesn't fix the world above. Ilula yesh bo isarusa delasata mitzad b'nei Yisrael. You need to have some inspiration from down below to create effects in the world above. Ha'osim u'mekayimim oso. So normally, you know, in other religions, they think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, pulling the strings. The way it's explained by the Nefesh HaChaim is we're actually pulling the strings here. We are changing how the world above. We make the calls here. Again, it's a much deeper topic. But there is one mitzvah that doesn't require our input down below. Milvad mitzvah achas hayotas min haklal. There is one exception that doesn't require any of our input. He mitzvah HaShabbos. Asher bo naseh tikun vayichud bolamos ve'elyonim. Shabbos itself makes all these changes and yichudim we spoke of last night in the shir, the how important yichudim are. Me'atzmuso yizbarach b'li shum ezer v'siyum milamata. Shabbos itself inherently is already fixed from Hashem and doesn't require our input at all. That's the uniqueness of Shabbos. Doesn't need it, and if it doesn't need it, it doesn't allow. There's no room for it.
It doesn't allow it. We're not allowed to do things, right?
Oh, so that's the very next line. Excellent. The very next proof is, how do we know? He says, because we don't. There's no mitzvahs of Shabbos. It's sit and do nothing. Shevi al taseh. It doesn't require any input. Remez ledavar. The hint is, shemitzvahs haShabbos shenitztavu ba b'nei Yisrael hu mitzvah asher kiyuma. How do you fulfill Shabbos, as you just said? B'shevi al taseh. Sit back and do absolutely nothing. All the melachos of Shabbos. It means don't do anything. It doesn't need it. We're not allowed to add our own creativity. Asher kol kiyumim, the whole establishment of Shabbos, eino bepu'ula ubasiya. It's not through action. Kim dafka b'shvisa mimlacha. Simply by resting. So we see that Shabbos is so great that it comes on its own. It has its own inherent kedusha without any of our input. And he says, jump to the next paragraph now. Achein, ilula zos, had not been for that, had Shabbos not been created as its own kedusha, lo hayu habrios yicholim l'shabeach liyotram amatnas haShabbos. We would not be allowed to thank Hashem, to praise Him for this. Ki ilu nizdakkenu l'sarusa l'dasata. If Shabbos needed our input, hello, Miyomer, who here would say, Zachisi Libi, who here could actually say that my lev is so clean, Vitarasi and pure, Mechatasi, I've got no sins, Vasisi, Palaisi, Maatzmi, Kechol, right, did everything correct, Lekudusha Shabbos, no one could say that. So in order to engage in discussing the greatness of Shabbos, you have to be a person who's completely Tahor, Zakai. And of course, no one in this world is like that. So the only way Shabbos could have been created was if it came from above entirely. Without any Ezer or Siya, without any help or assistance, it came from Shemayim entirely. And only Rak Mipnei Sheyom Shvi Atzmo Meshabech V'Omer, only because Shabbos itself started to praise the greatness of Shabbos and started to do Tikkunim Ba'olamos HaElyonu Mi'atzmo, only through that, I'm jumping down, Zehu Shamu Kilafikach. That's what Lafikach means. Because Shabbos opened the floodgates, now we were granted access to start engaging in this chachma of singing, into the world of singing praise about Shabbos. So Al-Divrei, jumping to the next paragraph, top of the top left now. Al-Divrei Arav HaKadosh Me'apta Halalu Efshir Lahosu. We could add it even further. Kilo zu bilvad shanu habrios krutei achomer. Not only that we, physical beings, shein anu mitzuyin bibichina hamiromemes shal Shabbos, that we're not commanded to be involved in this. V'yesh lanu reshus lefire ulerameim laHashem Yisbarach al matanasa atova el adraba. Not only are we allowed to, but it's actually more than that. Dafka habrios shebeolam hazeh heim shekiblu es hareshus lechach v'lo asrafim hafonim bechayos hakodesh. Only we are allowed to sing praise to Hashem on Shabbos. The angels are not. We are taken a level above. Is there a? Can I get the sitter for a second? I want to share with you a beautiful idea from Rav Biederman. Rav Biederman has this idea, if you compare the Kedusha that we say during the week, we also say Shabbos morning Shacharis, versus the Kedusha we say Keser and Musaf, those who daven Nusach Svard. There is a very interesting difference of how we discuss the singing of Kedusha. What do we say in the morning, Shacharis morning? Kinoam Siach Sod Sarfe Kodesh. It's Kinoam, it's like. But whenever you say Kid, it's not that we're there yet. When we say Kedusha, we're like the angels, but not quite there yet. But as we daven further and get to Musaf, it says, Keser yinu l'cha, Hashem elokeinu malachim hamonei mala, the malachim, im amcha Yisrael, yachad kulam Kedusha l'cha yishaleishu. So in the morning, we are singing only like the angels, but not quite like the angels. But when we get to the Kedusha later on, we're singing on the same level of the angels. Now, we're going to see in just a moment that the angels actually don't sing on Shabbos, according to one opinion. But we
imply that they are.
It implies that they are. But we got to a very high level. We are singing together. And the idea of singing with angels, the Rav Chaim Vital writes, that why do people get so inspired when they hear a song? So he says, because the neshama, of course, comes from a place up in Shemayim. Below the Kisei HaKavod is where all the neshamas are being preserved. And up in Shemayim, all day long, they hear singing. The Malachim are busy singing songs. And when the Neshama comes down into this world, and it's in a body, And there's no singing going on. So it gets a little dry and boring. But then when it starts to hear singing, it gets excited because it's reminded of the place up in Shemayim where they're singing, where the Malachim are busy singing. So that's where the inspiration comes from. But oftentimes, many times, the singing stops and then the inspiration goes away. It's our tafkid to take that kedusha, take that inspiration to take with us. You know, I had an interesting, and I always get interesting phone calls, and being a part of Esh Kodesh, but certainly now, it's the past week, there have been many interesting phone calls. You know, none I could share at this point, but maybe down the line I can. Yeah, okay. So I'll tell you one phone call I got last week. I think it was a Tuesday. I got a phone call. I usually don't answer phone calls that I don't know the number. I let them leave a message. If it's important, I'll call them back. So I got a message from an individual. He sounded Hasidish, but he certainly sounded very religious. And he said, I have an important discussion I need to have with Rav Weinberger. So I called him back a little bit later. And I said, you know, Rav Weinberger's away for the next few months. So he's not available. I'm sorry. You could email him. He hung up the phone. He's very upset. He called me back a few seconds later, and he said, "You sound like a nice guy. Maybe I could ask you." I said, "Okay. I've had this question before where I could ask you. Usually, it's like I can't help you. Like I need to change my name because I'm, you know, something crazy is happening in my life." I said, "You need to wait for Weinberger to come back." But this question, he said to me, "You know, I really want to move to Woodmere. I want to come to Esh Kodesh." So, okay, what can we do to help you out? So he wants a place to stay, and it's come for Shabbos, fine. So I'm just curious to know, I don't want to pry too much, but I'm curious to know as to why he wanted to come to Esh Kodesh, but I didn't ask him. I just said, where do you live? So he lived in a very religious area. Let's call Bnei Brak, Lakewood, Brooklyn, somewhere very, very religious. And he sounded like a chassid, or chassidish, and I didn't understand why he was coming to Woodmere or Esh Kodesh at all. So he asked me for my email. He'll email me this way. We could arrange for him a place to stay. So then later that day, I get a call from someone else. So he says, "Did you hear the big shiur of Weinberger gave on Sunday?" So everyone apparently was like tweeting about this on Facebook. No one told me about this. I guess everyone assumed I knew about this shiur. So I said, "No." He said, "Go listen to it." So I heard the shiur, and then I heard all the discussion about it. This is the shiur, those who didn't hear on Sunday morning, that he gave about... you know, speak to me in English. Find that was like the big line going around. So then I realized that this individual probably heard the shiur and said, "This rabbi gets me. This rabbi really gets where I come from." Because why else would a guy from, let's call it Bnei Brak, would want to suddenly come to a place like Esh Kodesh? And he was telling me he wants to come and bring his own food and stuff, so like it doesn't make sense. So he doesn't know anything about Esh Kodesh. He knows the rabbi, and that's about it. So he was very inspired by the shiur that this guy actually gets who I am. So meanwhile, I never heard from him. He never emailed me, which oftentimes people get inspired. They want to do something and accomplish something right away, but then that kind of dies out. So singing is something that takes us to a whole other level where the neshama is brought back into the world up in Shemayim where the malachim are singing. But if you take that inspiration and just ignore it, it doesn't go anywhere. Inspiration is meant to be put into action. I spoke last week at the drasha about having dreams and visions, and it's great to have dreams, but if you don't put it into action, you don't put it down on the floor and make something out of it, it's worthless. So the idea is to be inspired. So the Kedusha, reason why we get inspired from Kedusha and from singing is because we're singing with Malachim, or we're singing at least the songs that the Malachim sing. So says the Apterov that the singing that we do on Shabbos is unique to us. Only we sing. The Malachim, even though Kedusha says differently, we're about to see a Tosos that says only Adam sings on Shabbos. Malachim don't even sing on Shabbos. So look inside this next paragraph. V'hein hein divrei ha-pela. This is an amazing words found in the Bali Tosos in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. It says in the name of the Gaonim, Kazer b'tshuvas ha-Gaonim, the Gaonim was the period right before the Rishonim, after the Amoraim. She'ein b'nei Eretz Yisrael omrim kedusha ela b'Shabbos. The practice in Eretz Yisrael had been to only say kedusha on Shabbos itself. Dichsiv, as it says, gavi chayos, with respect to the chayos, sheish k'nafayim le'echad. There are six wings on an angel. V'chol kanaf hu omer shira achas b'yom b'sheishes yimeachol. That each week another wing says another song. So Sunday is one wing, Monday is another. And by the time they're up to Friday, they've used all their six wings. And Uchshagia Shabbos, Omer Machayos Lifnei Amakum, the angels say to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Ein Lanu Od Kanaf. We have no other wings left to sing to you. But Kadosh Baruch Hu Meishav Lahem, Hashem responds back, Yesh Li Od Kanaf Echad. I've got one more wing left, and this wing will fill in the gap. Shomer Lefanai Shira. And that last wing will sing a song for us. Miknaf Ha'aretz, the corner or the wing of the land, of the world. Zimiros Shemanu, I hear the singing. So this is a reference to the singing of Zmir Shabbos of Am Yisrael. That we sing it, we are replacing the Malachim on Shabbos Kodesh. Because on Shabbos we have a Neshama Yisera. We're brought to a whole other level. Right? Our Neshamas are hidden inside our guf and they're looking for the songs. But with the Neshama Yisera we're taken to a whole other level. We are on the level, if not higher up, than the Malachim. So we are the ones singing songs. I want to get one more point here as well about how special Shabbos is and the connection to the angels. So they sing for 6 days of the week, and we fill in Shabbos songs. So there is another idea that's brought down by the Gra, that the six wings of the angels correspond to six something else. Anyone know what the other six things it responds to? Six what? Nope, we have 10 of them. Seven or 10. Six middle ones, it's Ferris maybe? Yes, Shishei Sidrei Mishnah. The Gra writes that the six wings are referring to Shishei Sidrei Mishnah, the six Siddharm. Now, just a point for this, the Gemara in Chagiga says that there's one pasuk that says Malachim have six wings, and there's another pasuk that says that Malachim have four wings. So what's the difference? So the Gemara answers, one's during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there's six wings, and the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there are only four wings. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, it's connected to Shishei Sidri Mishnah. We have six Siddharm of Mishnah. Zman Nakad is the Rashi Tevos, Zrarim, Moed, Nashim, Nizikin, Kalshim, and Taros. So during that period of the Beis HaMikdash, all six Sidrei Mishnah are relevant. During the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, two of them are irrelevant. Kodshim, Karbanos are no longer relevant, and Taros, Tumah V'Tara is no longer relevant. So there are only four wings left, four Siddharm. So I think we can connect the same idea. It's brought down in the Sfarim that on Shabbos you don't learn Nigla. I'm not saying not to learn Nigla, but Shabbos is reserved for learning Taurus Nistar. So the 6 days of the week correspond to the six wings, which correspond to the six Sidrei Mishnah, which is all Nigla. Shabbos, now we're above that. We're above that level where we have a Neshama Yisera. We're engaged in the Chachma of music and singing. So that's why it's reserved for Nistar, because we're in a whole other level where we're able to tap in to the secrets of the world. Bidan Banish, you had a question?
So maybe we can relate to it because of the Shira that we have. What Shira did other Mauritians sing, or Avram Avinu, or the generations in between them?
Sure. So they actually brought down Chazal. I think the Gemara says, I don't remember exactly, but some of Tehillim was said by Adam and by Avram.
Babasra.
Babasra, what is it? Yeah, the yeah.
So he said he said those little kapitlach on Shabbos in particular.
I'm not sure when exactly, but
if the Remez is the wings of the
angels,
the angels,
right?
So you would assume that would be from the beginning of creation.
Yeah.
Because other we also said that what?
Who is the one who wrote Nachman Shabbos? It's very early, no?
I don't remember who wrote all the different ones.
That's the Rishon.
Oh, that is. Oh, you're right. It is. Oh, yeah. So there you go.
So there are 10 authors. So how did he know to do that? I mean, in other words, I always had the question of how did he know that the land, the trees, everything was ready and prepared. It required Adam to daven, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
bring it forward.
Right.
So how did he know to do that?
Adam was able to see things.
He was inspired, but because he inherently felt it.
Could be. I don't know. Could be that.
The point that I was making before. The idea is that what right do we have to sing?
Okay. So I don't know if he's inspired or HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, but either way, Adam did sing. He sang Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, and it had been a tradition for many generations from the creation of the world, the Koach HaTefillah. Let's now jump to the next piece here, the left column. They start after that line, that fancy little line there. Let's take it from Vinei Milvad Osam Mizmor Tfila. So aside from the special, I should actually add one more point. I'm sorry. I want to go back one more second. Go back to the paragraph Mehai Taima. I skipped a point here, where it says Kosiva Or Zarua. The Or Zarua writes, Or Zarua is one of the Rishonim. Actually, that's one I mentioned last week in the Drasha, who named his Or Zarua based on a dream he had about Rabbi Kiva. So he writes that Tiknu Rabosenu Lomar B'Seder Tfila Mizmorim U'Piyutim L'Chavad Shabbos. that Chachamim had said to have say special Tehillim during Pesukei Dezimra on Shabbos. Lefi shelo bachar Kadosh Baruch Hu b'yom haShabbos l'shmo shvachim shel malachei hasharis. That Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't interested. He didn't decide. He did not want to hear the singing of the malachim on Shabbos. Ki im esh shvachim shel Yisrael. He only wanted to hear the praises coming from Klal Yisrael. And that's the reason why we have extra Kapitel Tehillim that we say Pesukei Dezimra is longer. Pesukei Dezimra is Pesukim of Zimra, Pesukim of songs. That's why it's longer on Shabbos, because there's a special inyan of singing on Shabbos. And that's what the Pasuk says in Devarim, Es Hashem Hamarta Hayom. You said to Hashem on that day, so Hashem Hamircha Hayom. What does this mean? So says the Or Zeruah, Shayidei Sheklal Yisrael Hamir Es Hashem Elav Hayom. Since Am Yisrael said to Hashem that today is Yom HaMiyuchad Dainu Shabbos, they said to Hashem, they sang to Hashem that this is the Hayom, this is the day. Shabbos is the day. If you have to pick a day, this is Hayom. There's no day like Shabbos. So in return, Lechein Gam Hashem Himir Hayom, and therefore Hashem also said, this is a special day. I agree. I love Shabbos as well. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu was acknowledging the Chayfetz B'Shvachacha Yosem Mishal Malach HaSharis. He said, I want to hear the praise from you, Am Yisrael. I don't want to hear it from the Malachim. So that's why Pesukei Dezimra is extended. Now let's go into discuss, now that we see how Zmiras Shabbos is something very unique and special, let's discuss now how Zmiras Shabbos is so impactful during the Suda. Why do we sing during the meals? Why not sing? We sing also during davening, but why was it instituted stafka during the meals? So I'm going to just jump a few paragraphs now. You understand the question. It's a strange thing to sing during the meals. I don't know if any other non-Jews sing during meals. They sing at concerts, but I don't know if they sing during their meals at all.
It's opportune because everybody's gathered together.
Could be opportune. That would be a weak way of saying it. We want to elevate the Suda a little more. But you're right, it's opportune.
They don't sing during the meal, they say drink.
They're drinking.
It's a good meal, you do both.
So let's see the Indian of singing during a meal. Jump down now to the, if you look at this page, we're on the third column, the last paragraph where it gets bold. Umashal. So he brings a mashal from the Medrash in Shir Hashirim. No surprise that's in Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs. Lamelech she'asa suda v'zimun ha'orchan. A king made a big meal. He invited many, many guests. U'mehem ochlin v'shosin mevarchin lamelech. Some of them ate and drank and thanked the king and praised the king. U'mehem ochlin v'shosin mekalin lamelech. And those who ate, drank, and cursed the king. Hirgish ha'melech u'bikesh l'hachnis what's that word? Behem mehuma b'sudasal arvava. The king was very upset. He wanted to make a whole commotion. Nichnasa machoner v'limda alem sangora. And one of the officers came to the king and says, no, don't get so excited, don't be so upset. Amrullah, the individual, the lady said to the king, Adoni HaMelech, the master of the king, Ad sha'ata mei mabit be'elu, before you look at the guys who are eating and drinking mekalin osach, that's cursing you, ignore them. Sometimes you have to ignore the noise that surrounds you. And habet be'elu, take a look at those who are ochlin v'shosin mevarchin osach. Pay attention to the positive. Those who are actually praising you and thanking you. U'mishabchin l'shmecha. Kach, so too. Kishei Yisrael ochlin v'shosin mevarchin u'mishabchin u'makalsin l'kadosh baruch. When we eat and drink and praise Hashem and we sing songs. Makshiv l'kolam u'minsratza. Kadosh baruch hears the beautiful songs and the melodies. U'bishah she'om u'mas ha'olam ochlin v'shosin mecharfin. And they're busy blasphemizing and cursing. U'minatzin l'kadosh baruch u'barayos shemazkirin. They're discussing terrible, inappropriate topics. Also, Shah, Choshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem starts to think. Afilu l'hachiv ol l'olamo. He's so disgusted. He wants to just destroy the entire world, the way they're partying, the way what we do on a Friday night versus what they're doing on a Friday night. Do you imagine the difference? V'atorah nichnasa u'melamedes sangora v'omeres. The Torah steps in and says, don't be so fast, Hashem. Ribono shel olam, ad she'ata mabit be'elu. Before you look at those who are mecharfin u'machisin l'fanech, they're causing you tremendous aggravation. So look at these wonderful Yidden who are sitting around their Shabbos table. They're busy singing, speaking Torah, and your praise. And this also appears in the Gemara Megillah. It says, Yom HaShvi Shabbos Haya, the seventh day of Shabbos, Shei Yisrael Ochlin V'Shosin. They eat and they drink. Maschilin b'divrei Torah, b'divrei Tishbachos, they begin to praise Hashem. Aval umas ha'olam, she'olchen v'shosin, they eat and drink, ein maschilin ela b'divrei Tiflos. They talk about nonsense. So we see the greatness of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at our singing while we eat and we drink. But still, what's the idea though? It's certainly something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much impressed by. But what's the idea of eating and drinking and singing at the same time? So they explain here, if you go further, Mitzuyanim heim b'nei Yisrael, that we're exceptional. B'mida sur mera, we're able to avoid doing evil, v'aseh tov, and doing good. Mikol umas olam, more than any other nation in the world. Shedafka bizman zeh shel achila v'shesiyah. Dafka, when we're eating and drinking, asher mitivo hagashmi, from nature of man, all of us, we have the nature, shel guf adam, laviu li deidivrei hevel v'raos v'ruach. The nature of human being is while we're eating and when we're drinking, we're taking shots of whatever we're taking shots of, we're eating meat and we're getting full, it's normal for man to just sit back and be very arrogant and start speaking lashon hara and whatever else people would normally do. But despite that fact, Misalim b'nei Yisrael, misromimim, they are elevated, Am Yisrael is elevated, levarich l'shabeach u'lekales l'kadosh baruch hu b'torah b'zmiros u'b'tishbachos. So imagine, in a place like around the table, where it's normal for the human being to do things that they shouldn't be doing, to take that and begin to sing and speak divrei Torah, that is so impressive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not saying this to praise myself at all, but the last Yankee game I went to, a sporting event I ever went to, was when the Yankees won the World Series last, which was 2000. Anyone know? Nine? Six?
So,
long
time ago.
Long time ago. Okay. So in other words, the Marlins aren't any better.
Just like, so,
okay.
So just like we're responsible for keeping the world together, you're responsible for the Yankees?
No, but I have a point. So the last game I went to was this Yankee game. Now, I only went to the Yankee game because my father bought tickets for me and my brothers to go. It was when they clinched the World Series. I was zocheh to be at two clinching games. I went to the World Series when they won it. And when I was dating my wife, my father had a patient before when patients were allowed to give doctors tickets. They can't do that anymore. Only lawyers could get them, but doctors can't get tickets anymore.
They make the laws.
Yeah, they make the laws. So we got tickets to go to the Nets game when they were in New Jersey at the time. They played against the Lakers, and the Lakers swept them in Game 4. I was at Game 4. I sat on the lower level, got really great seats. I remember after the game was over, they roped off the center court, and then Shaquille O'Neal came to my area to kind of call one of his friends in, and the guy was massive. So the second clinching game I got to go to was this World Series, which was around, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And at that point, I really wasn't interested. I love sports, but I wasn't interested in going to a three-hour game plus hour travel before. In 5 hours, I wasn't willing to give up my time. So I went to the game anyways just to be with my brothers to watch a World Series. Meanwhile, my father got very excited. My father doesn't follow sports at all. But 3 weeks ago, he called me up. He says, if the Yankees make it to the World Series, do you think I could splurge and buy you and the kids a ticket to the World Series? I said, I don't know. They're not going to make it to the World Series anyways, but I don't think we want to go to the game. So I went to this Yankees game just because my brothers did. But I brought a Gemara with me because that's what I was busy doing. So I was in Yankee Stadium busy learning several blot of Gemara in this place. So I don't know if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was happy with me or not happy with me, but I think I made the right decision of going, whether I should have been learning or not. I know Rav Weinberger says a story that Ushi gets very upset at him because he used to take him to baseball games also with a safe route and he wasn't paying attention to the game. But either way, when it comes to venues like that where sometimes you are forced to be in, now we obviously have to eat. That's part of living in this world, eating. But to take a suda that's so gashmi, that's so full of gashmis and the physical world, and take the opportunity to sing and to praise Hashem and speak to the Torah, in contrast to what the Umos HaOlam are doing that same time on a Friday night, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely special. And that's why Zmiros is said dafka during the eating of meals.
Why is it that we, why do we do all these physical things on these elevated days? You would think that we should be not eating, like we do Yom Kippur almost. Should be not eating.
Right. That's the idea.
The
idea of Yom Kippur and Purim, where they say Yom Kippurim is Kippurim, Purim is really greater, Yom Kippur is only like Purim. So why is it really greater? Because there are two ways to approach the world. One is to remove yourself from all gashmis in the world. That's one way, to fast and to live in a very soft, lowly way. And the other approach, more dangerous, but more elevating, is to engage the world and to elevate the world, like you're saying. So Purim, where we're busy eating and drinking, sounds so counterintuitive and backwards, But since we're taking the food and elevating it to a whole nother level, if those who could really engage with the proper mindset and proper precautions, so that's a much greater level. So that's the same idea. I think it's a very good point. The same idea of taking a Shabbos meal, which is so gashmi and so physical, to take it to a whole nother level and take it with the zmiros, with singing, to be on the level of malachim on Shabbos. So we'll stop here now, but Mirat Hashem, hopefully now with Yehuda Green here for Shabbos, that should make us have some more impact of the singing, appreciate the longer davening tonight in Mirat Hashem, the inspiration, and take it with us throughout the entire week until the next Shabbos. Sorry, oh, hey, longer, definitely longer.
2 hours.